God's unchanging hand. Let's trust in Him now. Oh, trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, changing hand. Hallelujah. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Unchanging hand will covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Just sounds good now. Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Unchanging hand. Verse 4. Now when your journey is completed and it to God you have been true. Glory. Time now. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Yes, hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, build your hopes on things eternal. Unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Let's give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, You're worthy. We lift You up, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like traveling on, don't you? Amen. Come on, let's sing that. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Traveling on, no pain or death shall enter there. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. towers, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Amen. I feel like traveling. Jesus, let's give him another hand of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we sing one more before we change the order of the service? There's going to be a meeting in the air. Same key. You have heard of little Moses in the bull rod. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. Oh, there are many, many others through the Bible. Oh, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet there at that meeting. Sing it now. There's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son is going to be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Oh, many things will be there missing at that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. See, there will never be a sermon preached to sinner. Oh, the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. Won't nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. And that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leader. at that meeting in the air. Verse 3 now. The doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. And there will be no grumblers present to disturb us. And the Aikens will be busy far away. Oh, there the saint will have his seal upon his forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. Amen. There's going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid to put those hands together. Come on, let's give Him some worship. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, this is your time. We give it to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. As we change toward the service, the musicians find something softly to play. You may have your seats. We'll make mention of a few of these requests. I believe we have a request to remember Steve and Sarah. I believe they're traveling. They're in Virginia right now. So let's remember them. Have a request here to remember Brother Jeff Jackson. He is at work. I'm sure he'd like to be with us. So let's remember him in prayer. Let's remember Sister Sheba. She is driving home. She's having some breathing problems. So let's remember Sister Sheba in prayer tonight. Amen. God would give her a healing touch. Want to remember Brother Alan Gunter as well. He's in South Carolina traveling. So let's remember Brother Alan Gunter. God would be with him in his travels and bring him safely back to our assembly. We don't have any other prayer requests at this time. Do we have unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? I'd like to ask Brother Peter Coffey if he would make his way forward to take over these needs as we're singing that song.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, from the ends of the earth. With you
Let's all stand as Brother Peter comes to pray over these special needs tonight.
Let's bow our hearts. Dear gracious Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is for us all to gather tonight in your name. In your house, Lord, we're just grateful for an opportunity to come together and join our licks of fire in worship to you, Lord, and to listen to your word as it comes forth. Father, we're just so grateful for your grace to us and your mercy to bring us through another day. Lord, many of us are tired and weary from work or just whatever we've been doing. Lord, we just pray especially tonight that you calm our hearts, Lord, calm our spirits, minister to us as we're here in the sanctuary listening to your word and praising you. Father, it's my prayer tonight that we would just receive a direct word from you tonight, whatever might be in our hearts. Lord, I just ask you to speak to each and every one that's here, including me. And Lord, just deal with us in whatever way you see that we need to be dealt with, Father. You know everything that's in our hearts, everything that's on our minds, Lord, our questions, our concerns, our prayer requests. Lord, you have them all in your hand. And so, Lord, we just lift them up tonight before you, I pray. Forgive us of our sins, our mistakes, Lord, our failures. Just pray, Lord, that you look at our heart tonight, not our actions, Lord, that you would be merciful to us. And Lord, I think of Sister Sheba, who's driving home with a lung problem that must be very difficult and nerve-wracking. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless her and take away the breathing problems so that she can drive safely and stay alert on the roads. Lord, there's several who can't be here tonight, Brother Steve and Sister Sarah. Brother Jeff, who's at work. Lord, I just pray that you touch them and give them a special blessing, even though they're away from us. And Lord, also pray for Brother Fulcher tonight, who's still in the hospital with a very serious need with his heart. And just, again, commit him to you, lift him up before your throne, and ask that you'd be merciful to him, Lord, and give him grant him a quick recovery, we pray. We love you so much. Pray for our pastor. Ask that you'd bless him as the word comes forth. We commit the rest of the evening to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Let's sing that song, Think About His Love. Oh, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. To the pastor tonight, as the deacons would make their way forward, we'll take up our evening offering. I'd like to sing that song, There Is None Like You, No One Else Could Touch My Heart. Amen. Brother Andy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
My heart like you do.
and I could search for all eternity long, and find there is none like you. Let's just praise him. Oh, there is none like you, Jesus. No one else could touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Once again now. Oh, there is none like you.
No one else can touch heart like you do. Praise his wonderful name. Let's take your Bibles tonight. We're going to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And we'll read a couple of verses there as we begin. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord tonight. As we pray, we want to remember Sister Molly. I spoke to her just before service tonight. She has moved from her residence. She is in another house which belongs to her sister. She has a new address, and she is pretty chuckered out from all the moving and so forth. And she just asked us to remember her in prayer and trust that she will make a quick recovery from all of the effort in moving. She said, "You don't realize how much stuff you have till you start to put all that stuff in a box." If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to remember Brother Fulcher again in prayer. He's in hospital. He had a catheterization on, I have to think of my days now, on Monday. And part of the heart cath was successful, the stenting process. Part of it was not. And he's certainly weak. He's still in CCU, and we would ask you to remember him in prayer if you don't mind. I was not expecting to be here tonight and just slipped away at the last minute to come down. Had another minister to stand by here, but I wanted to be here for the baptism tonight. Brother Joseph Cockman is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're excited about that. And he's going to be away for a couple of weeks, so I wanted to slip away to come down tonight to be baptized. We're going to be returning right back again after service here. So if you don't mind, just keep the family in prayer. We surely would appreciate that. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Sorry, let's verse 5. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise, the garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. What a verse. What a verse. These are words of war. These are words of struggle. And then the next verse is a very familiar one to us. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. If he was that, he still is that. Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing now on the reading of the word, the hearing of the word, and the understanding of the word. We can talk about it, but Lord, only you can interpret it and make it real to us. Father, I pray you give us an understanding of the things that really matter. And Lord, help us where we are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit every need to you. Amen. You may be seated tonight. God bless you. Lord willing, Saturday is our family day. And we trust that you'll be able to come. I'm looking hoping we'd be able to be there on Saturday. It starts at 10. Information is in the library. Any questions at all, we have people available to answer questions. But we're just looking for a good time in the Lord, and we could not obviously have it here, so we have some fun things and edifying things planned for the day on Saturday. So come along, get your instructions, and come on along. You're certainly, everyone is certainly welcome. We want to welcome also Sister Karen Buchanan. Good to have her with us tonight. May the Lord richly bless you. We welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening. Also, as well, someone said there was a couple of young people who were here who were visitors, strangers. Right? God bless you. Good to have you back. All right, let's take a look in the Word of the Lord now. Some of this, obviously, we've been in this mode now. We've been talking about cantaloupes and watermelons for a little while here. And so I'm just going to jump in here, but I trust that for those of you that have not been involved very much in this little series here, you'll catch on. We've been talking about the breaking the cycle of depression and oppression and fear and the things that bind God's people. Not necessarily physical things, but these are more on the emotional, on the spiritual side. And I just need to tell you again that it's just incredible the response that not only have we had from you folks that are here, but also from abroad. It's just really been outstanding. We're still sending out that little packet of quotes and so forth that I put together, and it's just proving to be a blessing to people to be able to have that resource at hand. And so we're certainly welcomed. We're certainly able to send that out to folks and trust that it's a blessing. But I will tell you, whenever you step on the enemy's toes, he doesn't like it very much. That's for sure. So let's just jump in here, and we want to deal with things that we can do in the circumstance we face. Everybody doesn't go through times of depression or cycles of depression or oppression all at the same time. Sometimes there are seasons of life that you go in and out of, like postpartum depression or maybe change of life or something like that causes. It's a season of old age or maybe some disruption in life. Something happened, like a church broke up or a family member passes away or someone loses a job that they've had for years and years. And it's almost like a triggering effect. It triggers something that causes a certain feeling in our lives. And there are many times, most times I would even say, that it is not our doing. It's not our fault. We don't get up and say, Lord, break apart my world today. Lord, bust up my family today. Or, Lord, I pray I'd lose my job today. We don't pray for distress. We don't pray for discomfort. We don't pray for negative things. That's an unnatural way for us to speak. We pray for the positive. We pray for, you know, the overcoming, don't we? We pray for the, the victory in our lives. We pray for joy in our lives, right? That's the natural way that human beings pray. We pray for, for God to be, mighty on our behalf in every time and in every way. But yet God has a plan. God has a way for every one of us. And there are times when, God wants us to be still and to listen and to understand what he's doing. Part of our challenge, as I said to you before, is really to figure out, is this the Holy Spirit dealing with me and wanting me to slow down perhaps, or wanting me to change, or wanting me to come to him on the basis of his word for healing, or is this the antagonist? Is this the enemy of God's people? Is this the devil trying to torment me? And sometimes our greatest challenge is to find out who it is that's behind all this. And very often it takes prayer, and it takes for you to get neutral and to just be still and say, Lord, if this is you, we know you're not going to operate contrary to your word. So steer me to your word and show me what you would have me to do and guide me by your word. Because God's never going to God's never going to lead you contrary to that. But one thing is for sure, the enemy always will. He can be very close, but he'll always guide you contrary to God's word and God's will. So therefore, if we wait on God long enough, you'll eventually understand where these times of trials are coming from. And so I'm helping tonight. I just trust that it'll be a bit of a help to you. And we look at some of these statements and quotes and examples that people went through, and people that Brother Branham met in the prayer line, that no way in the world that an ordinary human being, even with good perception, could figure out how these people came to where they are, except the Holy Ghost had shown it to him, brought him back to the very beginning of their lives. And how one thing set up, you know, the circumstance for another thing to happen, and another thing to happen, and another thing to happen. But I think also, too, and I said this, and I'm being a little repetitive, we should never, ever feel that we're above this because, hey, you know, we're in the message. And we, you know, we believe Malachi 4. Hey, you're more of a target now than you ever have been in your life, especially as we come down towards the end. And so we need to pay attention to the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives us to keep our shield high, keep our sword in our hand, and be at the ready, because the enemy will try to come in at every stage of life, young and old, and everything in between. Brother Branham said we're facing two scriptures, a contrast one to the other. Two scriptures. He said we're in a time of life where we're facing two things that are opposites. In Isaiah, arise and shine, for the glory of God has come upon you, and the light is here. And the very next verse says, gross darkness will be upon this people. And when we are in a mixture of light and darkness, contrast one to the other. The world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness that it's ever stood in. And yet it's standing in, again, the most blessed light that it's ever shined in. Hence the struggle. Because you live in a world full of darkness, but your soul is full of light. And you're marching to a different drum. You are moving to a different sound. You're being summoned by a different voice than the rest of the world is. And therefore, there's a conflict in our mind and our heart. And it is something that goes on continuously. Now, in the Inner Veil, 1956, Brother Branham says the most people that can profess Christianity, they seem to have such a hard, struggling time to hold on. Most people that can profess Christianity, they seem to have such a hard, struggling time to hold on. Anybody know anybody like that? I'm not asking if you have that. I'm just asking, do you know anybody who might struggle to hold on? I believe it's a lack of the correct teaching of the Bible. The lack of correct teaching of the Bible very often can cause people to slide, to go this way and that way. Listen, if you're predestinated, you're predestinated. If your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, you didn't put it on there, and you can't get it off there. The devil didn't put it on there, and he can't take it off there. Brother Branham didn't put it on there. Brother Branham can't get it off there. If your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, it's on there, right? But we know people who've been led astray. We know people who have had wrong teaching, right? They've had wrong emphasis put on the gospel. A lot of times, you know, there are people who elevate and magnify their own ministry, their own point of view. Hey, ministers are humans. And Brother Branham said that sometimes because of a lack of good teaching and correct teaching of the Bible, it doesn't matter where you go to church. It certainly does. He said there's no such thing, though, as holding on. There's no such thing as holding on. He done the holding on. The whole Christian principle is based on rest. Everybody says, it's not, listen folks, if it's up to me to make it, hey, we're in trouble and you're in trouble. It's up to him. And the holding power that we have comes from Christ. It's a hard thing to hold on to sin, isn't it? It's a hard thing to hold on to your cantaloupes and watermelons for a long time, right? It becomes a back-breaking process. And there comes a point where you got to lay it down. For those of you that were not here, you may not understand. And I'd like to just interject this here at this point. You got to wonder about who's taking pictures in church. But that's another sermon, all right? We'll do that at a later time. Sorry for my expression. That was not my choice here. I didn't take the picture, obviously. But a person, you know, who would carry sin, there is only one place you can go if you're a sinner. You can't let go of your sin with drugs or with drink or with entertainment or giving or good works or music, or you can't get rid of. There's only one place to get rid of sin, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way your sins are removed from you, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, it's not a question of me holding me. It's a question of Christ in me now, the hope of glory. And he's the one that holds us. He's the one that sustains us in the journey. And so the whole Christian principle is based on rest. And as soon as that sinner laid down that burden at the foot of the cross, let me tell you, he was relieved. His burden was gone. I could see it on his face. You need to go back and look at that if you have no idea what we're talking about. But now, as soon as a person comes to Christ, the battle's not over. As a matter of fact, the battle intensifies. And it intensifies, and the enemy will antagonize us through physical disease, mental disease, spiritual warfare. He'll try to make you disbelieve that you're born again. He'll try to talk you out of church. He'll try to talk you out of communion. He'll try to talk you out of foot washing. He'll try to talk you out of even the most basic things that you need in order to make it through all the way to the end of the journey. Right? That's Satan's tactic, and that's what he does. And then we go through things ourselves. You know, I mean, we go through, years of life on this earth with stresses that we have today. Anybody here understand what stress means? Yeah, and the pressures of life and your body changes and your mind changes and all the other influences that are out there. Hey, we live right in the middle of Satan's Eden. We live in a filthy fallen world, and it is full of corruption all the way from the top down. And so therefore, there's not a day goes by when we don't think about, the pressures that we face, and we're not reminded of our humanity. And we need him, right? We need him. Brother Branham said it wasn't meant for you to have peace here. If you did, you'd get customized to this world. God doesn't want you to be customized to this world. He wants you to rest in him. Come to him, and then you have peace. Come to him, and then you have peace. You don't have peace in entertainment. You don't have peace, in an environment of darkness. You have peace only in Christ. How many can say amen? If you found that peace, if you found that light, you know what I'm talking about. Let me read you a little note I got. Dear Brother Barry, you said, and I got permission to read this. You said that we weren't meant to have peace in this life. First of all, that's wrong. Brother Branham said that. I didn't say that. I'd love to have peace. I can't wait for the millennium. 1,000 years, I'll take it. But you understand what they're saying. You said we weren't meant to have peace in this life. What about inward peace? I've always wanted true peace, like they say, peace like a river. And to be happy and confident like most Christians are, or look to be. I don't want to be a look to be peaceful Christian. I want to have the real peace of God that passes understanding. I want to know the Prince of Peace better, to have more peace in my heart. Because I haven't been able to overcome the shrinking feeling I have, or the great lack of confidence, I feel like God either has rejected me, or else I don't know how to pray right. That's a great sentence. And the message has brought so much more knowledge. It has brought so much fear. Before you become a Christian, live godly, you felt happy. Now you had to worry about predestination and foolish virgin and vessels of dishonor and deception, etc. Is it possible to feel peaceful? What a letter. What a great letter. Let's answer that letter for that person. I don't know who it is. Well, I actually do know who it is. But let's try to answer that. First of all, you had to remember that none of us are immune from troubles. This is what Brother Branham taught us. Watchman Waters of the Night, 1958. None of us are immune from troubles. Whether you're old or young, whether you've been into faith a long time or a short time, whether you knew Brother Branham or whether you didn't, or whether you ever picked up a handful of dirt off Brother Branham's grave or not, there's none of us that are immune from troubles. How many can say amen? Amen. You got squirrely stuff happens in your family. You got squirrely stuff that happens between your two ears, right? You get feelings like you want to quit. You got answers. You have answers to questions that don't come. Or let me say it this way. You have questions that don't have answers. You have questions that nobody in your family can answer, and you have questions that I can't answer. You have questions that some of you are just waiting to get in front of God and ask him, because he's probably the only one that's going to have a good answer for you. Because life is difficult, and there are things that we don't always understand. Why they happen, when they happen, why they happen to us, we don't always understand. But none of us truly are immune from trouble. And God has not promised to excuse us from all sickness, but it is written that his strength is sufficient. So God does not delight in allowing sickness to exist or trouble to exist in our lives, but he does delight in being an ever-present help in a time of need, right? He does delight in being an inexhaustible fountain of life. And he will never put so much on us, but he will give us grace to bear so we have that consolation of knowing. Remember, none of us are immune from troubles. Now, we find this concept of peace then first time formally back in the book of Judges chapter 6. And this is the story of Gideon when the angel came and touched the sacrifice on the altar. Excuse me, and the offering was accepted. And verse 24 of Judges 6 says, "And Gideon built on the altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace." And that word peace, it means two things. It means a completeness or a safety. When Gideon said that, he just knew, now we are safe. Now we are going to have victory because he's here, and we are not at enmity with him. We are one with him. And so therefore we have that peace that only you can have when God comes and vindicates that. And then also, in terms of human relationships, when a husband and wife, for instance, who are in a covenant relationship, they're at peace with one another, there's an automatic feeling of safety, especially that a woman has. I'm safe under the umbrella of my husband. I'm safe in this arrangement that God has made, this sacred arrangement of marriage under a covenant. And if this human arrangement of marriage makes me feel safe and complete, and I've been brought to my mate, then the spiritual relationship should be something even greater. That if I died today, if I died going home tonight, God forbid, that I know where I would be because I'm at peace with God. And my peace with God is not something that I arranged or I took care of. It is something that he did for me. And so we love him more as a result of that. We find a very interesting example of this word over in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Hey, I'm not going to be long because we're going to do a baptism, all right? So stay with me here. See how far we can go tonight. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. The Lord had special plans for Solomon, didn't he? You've got to remember now, this is not just happiness over the birth of another child. David had lots of children. But this is David now knowing that he has made things right with God. This is David now achieving peace again with God. Because the judgment had passed. And therefore he knew now, somehow or another, he had reconciled himself back with God again. Because God had pronounced his judgment. God had, made David pay the price. And all of that has now been in the past. And now David is blessed through Bathsheba with a son that God loves and would become the next king of Israel. So this is not just something, great, got another. You know, it's a boy. We're all happy. That's not it. David says, I'm still alive. I'm still alive, and God loves this little boy, and God's allowed this boy to live. If God was not at peace with David, and David was not at peace with God, let me tell you, the family chain would have been disrupted all the way down. But Solomon lives, and David holds him up and say, this is a representation of peace with God, because the name Solomon itself means peace. It means shalom. And so when David, sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord, beloved of Jehovah. David says, hey, go tell the prophet. He said, go tell the prophet that we are now at peace with God. So the prophet is not coming with bad news now. David is going to him with good news because we have achieved peace with God. My goodness, if that's how it had to operate back in the Old Testament by the death of children and so forth, how much greater is it with us who are under the blood of Jesus Christ? What a greater thing that is. And we know that we are at peace with God, and nothing can change that, because he separated us from our sins, and our sins are as far removed as the east is from the west. They never catch up, right? And what a great thing that is. So this idea of peace is a very, very important thing to God. Now, Brother Branham says that Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on the earth. Remember that. So for this person that wrote me the note, Satan is constantly going to punch at you, even when you're doing right, even when you're doing good. And sometimes we feel like, wow, it's depressing. It's distressing to feel, wow, I'm doing everything I can. I go to church. I bring my kids to church. I pay my tithes. I do everything I know to do. And yet, the feelings are still there, and troubles at work or whatever else. And yet, this is what a prophet is telling us. He's trying to help us understand that none of us are immune from the kinds of troubles that Satan knows how to bring. You'll never have a time but when there's a punching going on all the time because you're in a battle. He said, did you ask to come to a picnic?
Well, you're sure going to be surprised because it's a constant battle. I've been on the field 31 years and I fought for every inch of the way. Israel had to fight every inch of the way. Palestine was given to them, but they had to fight every inch of the way to get it. Even thousands of years later, when they inherited the land again, they had to fight their way back into the wilderness and so forth. So the Christian life is certainly a battle. That's not anything you needed to come here to find out tonight. You already know that. And Satan will do everything he can to build strongholds, fortresses, places where he can hunker down. And Brother Branham said, we realize we're fighting a strong enemy and our warfares are not carnal, but they're strong, bringing down the strongholds of the enemy. You can believe that it would be a formidable task to try to conquer that cathedral on the top, or that castle on top of the hill. That would be a task. But let me tell you, some of those tasks are too great for us, but with God all things are possible. You might be sitting there stewing over your past or resenting something that God has done in your past or in your life and thinking, you know what, it'll always be that way. That's you saying that. That's not God. Because with God, all things are possible. So to me, there has to be a way either for that stronghold to come down or for you to have the grace to live with the struggle that's in your life so that it doesn't detract from your Christian walk. You say, well, hey, that's a compromise. No, hey, Paul said, I went to God 3 times. And finally, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God does not want you to become bitter. The Holy Spirit does not want you to get so fed up that you shake your fist at God and say, hey, if it's not gone in a week, I'm going to walk away from all of this. Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to rest in God's provision for your life and to accept the leadership that God brings into your life and be thankful for the grace you experience. Greatest battle ever fought. Remember, if it ministers something besides the Word, if something comes to you that ministers something besides the Word, it didn't come from God. So if voices come or things come in your life that are not from God, he says, there's something besides the Word of God, didn't come from God. Always in heaven, the Word, God watches over it, and he will never send a spirit to minister something besides the Word. So if somebody comes and tells you, or a voice tells you, hey, you don't need to go to church, well, you know that's not coming from the Scripture, right? So you got to deal with that. You got to kind of reckon with that. Where does it come from? That's why I say sometimes our greatest battles are to find out where these voices originate from. But he will never send a spirit to minister something besides the Word. He'll never send a spirit to say, well, of course, the days of miracles is past. And this is something Brother Branham faced constantly in his own ministry. No, he said it didn't come from God. It's contrary to the Word. He sends ones that ministers the Spirit of the Word. He sends the ones that ministers the Spirit of the Word. A true minister is going to minister according to the Spirit of the Word of God. And Satan and his demons are anointed. Now, here's the way Brother Branham said it, and you've seen this screen before here just to illustrate. This is something that Brother Branham described in a couple of different ways, but the idea basically is the same. We have a stream of humanity. We have a world full of people. Every now and then in that world full of darkness, we see spots of light, stars of light. You are those stars of light. You are those points of light. Below us, there are evil spirits and the souls of unjust men and the place or the habitation of Satan himself. And these exist to influence people within that stream of humanity. Above that, we have angels, ministering spirits, and we have the souls of just men. And then, of course, we have heaven itself. That's Brother Branham described it. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here. But remember now that you're in the middle. As long as you're alive in this human body, you're in that stream of humanity somewhere. Hopefully, you're a point of light. You are being influenced at the same time by forces below and forces above. Something's trying to pull you away. Something's trying to lead you to. Something's trying to oppress you and pull you away from the tree of life. Something's trying to lead you to the tree of life. Brother Branham goes on to say in Demonology in the Religious Realm, he said, today, my dear Christian friend, demons are working on every hand and God's Spirit's moving right out on the other hand to counteract it every time. Hence, the battle. Right? The struggle. And it's the foreshadow of the great showdown that's coming pretty soon between God and the devil. He said, get on God's side and be right in your heart. He does not say, you need to get out there and slay those demons. He said, you just get on God's side and get your heart right with God. Make things right that ought to be right. Make it right individually with people. Make it right with God. Make it right with whoever you have to make it right. And Brother Bram said, do it quickly. And he says, and stay, get on God's side. Stay on God's side and wait for God to bring justice to all of it, because he will. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't need to get even with anybody. You only need to get right with God. So, can somebody say amen? One time, Jesus cast out some demons from a man in Gadara, and they went into a herd of swine. Demons are powerless unless they're embodied. So you should expect that if the enemy comes to you, he will most often come in an embodied form. He will come to you through somebody or through something. He can operate through music and media and in literature and so forth. And he says they begged for mercy and went into the swine. So Brother Branham encouraged the people to make sure that they had the right respect and the right conduct in meetings when spirits were all of a sudden going to be loose, because they're naturally going to go to some habitation right away. They want to be embodied. That's how they operate. That's how they work. That's why if they could, demons would love to inhabit you. They would love to take residence on the ground that's given to them by permission of the Almighty, where God said he gave them the mind. That's where Satan's battleground is, right? Not that you're inhabited by an evil spirit just because you have a mind, but that's Satan's, if you like, it's his battleground. That's where he likes to operate from. So it's an important thing for us to maintain the right kind of respect. Now, let me just, if you don't mind, just let me jump ahead just for a moment here, because I want to get to a principle here. Testimony of raising a dead boy. Brother Bram said, can you imagine buying a house? And he said, you look into the kitchen and say, hey, I'll buy it. He said, no, sir. If somebody gives me a house, I'm going to go into the garage and the attic and the basement. I'm going to look every bit of it over and see what I got. I want to see what I own. I want to see it all. Naturally, he said, that's the way you'd buy a house. Well, he said, that's the way God wants us to do. And when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, that's a good thing. When you become a Christian, that's a good thing. But the thing of it is, you haven't looked around yet to see all the blessings that you got in there. Because there's divine healing in there. There's joy in there. There's peace in there. There's power in there. There's all kinds of things in there. Isn't that right? So I was telling Brother Joseph tonight before service, I said, you know, Acts chapter 2 is like a gate. It's like a wall with a gate in it. And you can't see over that wall. You can't see what's beyond there. But Acts 2 is, Brother Bram said, you don't even need to have a revelation of that. That's staring you in the face in the Scripture. But you go through that gate, and all of a sudden there are things, all kinds of things on the other side of that wall. All kinds of things that you can see now that you couldn't see before because you came through the scriptural gate. Right? And straight is that gate. Narrow is the way. But thank God there is a way through that wall that we can get on the other side. And there's all kinds of things on the other side of that wall. How many would agree that you understand more now than you did the day you came and stood in the waters of baptism? And we believe that. We experience that because the Holy Spirit has allowed us access to things that are available in there. And you know what? It'd be a shame for you not to take advantage of those things that are there because they're yours. You didn't pay for them, but they're yours anyway. They're already bought with a price, right? So, one of the promises that are found in the Scripture is, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord is actually close to them that are of a broken heart. People that go through very, very difficult things. People that go through real hardship, loss, and pain. The Lord is nigh unto them. I believe that. And he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Remember this, that no matter what you're going through, and by the mail and the responses that I've gotten, there are lots of people that have experienced broken hearts, and they do in this world. You got to understand, this is not my word. This is not Dr. Dobson here. This is not Brother Branham, but this is the Lord himself telling us that there's somebody close to you when you go through those most difficult times. And it's important for you. Can we get that off the screen there? It's an important thing for you to realize that, and then to be able to access the blessing of God through his presence. Now, again, I'm just jumping here now, and I'm trying to get to where I want to go. In the message Hebrews, Brother Branham said, now, how the Christian, he said, should be established in the faith. Every Christian should be established in the faith. But first thing first, and let's make sure that we got this, is the way he says it. First thing, he said, is the new birth. that birth that makes you kinfolks to God. That's where it all starts, right? It's not membership in a youth group. Because we're doing a disservice to our young people by keeping them young people. Now, that might sound a little bit funny, but I will tell you, in the Bible, there's no such thing as a youth group. To me, they are young adults. And what we should be doing is preparing them to step into the adult world as Christians. They're at a point where they're single, and we're able to equip them and teach them uniquely and especially to become young Christians as they go out and get married and raise their own families and so forth. But to me, there can be a culture of youth group thing where everybody's held back in the time of adolescence, and that's an unrealistic, non-biblical place to be. I don't know why I'm over here, but let me just say this. I appreciate our young people, and we've been talking about this and the way that we can shape our teaching for our young group here, young men and women here, to become real Christian adults, not to stay young people in the young people's group. Because we tend to think of that as sometimes, hey, it's good to get together. It's good to have fun and gatherings and so forth. But let me tell you, that's not the main thing. The main thing is Christ. Whether you're real young or whether you're real old, the main thing is Christ. And there's no diversion from that just because we have a youth group. To me, the youth group ought to be fostering and promoting a maturity in Christ at whatever age we're at. Right? Are we okay? I'll come back to that. I didn't even mean to go there. So the first thing is a new birth. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, faith, peace, long-suffering. That's a part of God that's in you. And forbearing one another's burdens, forgiving one another. These are all part of the things that come as a result of the new birth. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake forgave you. The Spirit of God makes you that way. That's naturally not how you're going to turn out. The Spirit of God makes you forgive. It's easy to forgive people where, it's not a serious thing. When somebody really wronged you, somebody offends you, somebody picks on your kids, let me tell you, and to be able to forgive them and go on, that takes the Spirit of Christ to do that. Are we okay? Brother Bram, the same quote, he says, now he's a good God, and if you want to hear certain things your way, he says, God is good enough to do that. Watch now. He loves to make you happy. He wants to. He is love, and his great love constrains him to even step down sometime to let you have the things you want. God's never going to give you something that's contrary to his will. He's never going to give you something that's going to hurt you in the long run. But you know what? God wants to bless you. He wants to find ways to bless you. And here's Brother Branham saying that you got to understand, God's not against you at all. He loves you. And he wants to lead you, and he wants to guide you, and he wants to make sure you get all the good things that are destined to come your way. He wants to ensure that in your life. He said he's good. And he gives us those things through the life of Christ that's on the inside. So what should we do then when we go through these valleys, we go through these times? One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have to talk to God. 1956, Brother Branham said, you have to talk to God. When Moses took off his shoes and walked up to the burning bush, he sat down and he talked to God in the burning bush. He said, just talk to God like that one time. Lay your problem out before him. Moses says, hey, Lord, I can't go. I can't speak real well. I'm just not eloquent, like other people are. And why are you picking me? Why are you sending me? God says, hey, let's talk about it, Moses. I've chosen you. I knew this from before the foundation of the world. I've got a program. I've got a purpose. You got a brother. He's going to be your mouth. I got this all worked out. I've thought about this before we got here today. And Moses, it's okay. And Moses is talking with God. And Brother Branham is telling us that God is not to be considered somebody way off there, off in the clouds and off in the universe somewhere. But he says sometimes you just ought to sit down, you ought to just talk to God. And just express your concerns to him. We give him our cares and we cast our burdens upon him, obviously, because the scripture tells us to do that. But there are times when you want to talk to God and you're even trying to understand things that are happening in your life. And he says, do that. Just talk to God one time, he said, and lay your problem out before him in the face of his word. Some people are better at writing it out. Some people ought to take a blank book and they just should write out their burdens on their heart. David very often did, right, in the Psalms. David said, tears are my meat. And, you know, he's just said, I'm filled with trouble. And all the different things that he wrote there. And he put them to music. And he sang them to God. Whatever way you feel comfortable communicating with God, you should do that. It's always in season to pray. Let me just give you just an insight in the word prayer. And I've been studying this and I've been thinking about this a lot. Because the word in the Hebrew, the word prayer, is two things. You can take those two Hebrew symbols there and divide them into two. And part of the word prayer in Hebrew means to judge and to reconcile. And they seem like two contrary things, but they're really not. In other words, let me just kind of say it like this. On one side of this coin, when I go to God, I have a view of myself. And my view of myself is not always very good. Because I remember and I see the mistakes, the weaknesses, the failures, and the re-failures that happen. And all the brides said. When I look at myself, I see this one way. But then there's another view that God has of me. And I can't say that there's only one view of me. There are two. Right? There's my view of me, but there's God's view of me. I'm talking about now me and God. I'm not talking about me and you, because you look at me one way. I look at you one way. But we're talking about now me and God in prayer. If I go to God in prayer, it's just me and Him. I look at myself one way and I say, what are you doing going to God? Who are you to go to God? Who do you think you are to go to God? And, you know, ask Him for something or present your petition to Him. Look at yourself. And when we look at ourselves, we would all shrivel from the prospect of even going to God, right? But there's another view. The view is how God looks at me. And on that basis, we can stand. In other words, it'd be like this. If I had a letter to go, one time, years ago, I had a letter to go to the White House, Walter Scheib, who was the chef. And I told you the story before. And, you know, Walter sent us the letter of invitation. We had clearances from the Secret Service and so forth. And my brother had said to me, my natural brother, he said to me, how did you get there? Who are you, you know? You're the least among us. I said, I know, you've told me many times. But I got a letter. Yeah, but you know, how did you get in the White House? Well, you know, it just happened, but I got a letter. So I didn't say to my brother, I'm going because I think I'm the best in the family and I'm the closest to Walter. I'd never met Walter before. I never met him. But I had a letter. And the letter gives me a right because somebody over here sent the letter and said, this person has permission, has right of entry into the White House and can come in. This is not based on conduct. This is not based on looks or my performance in the family. Not at all. This came from on high, right? This came from the White House itself. So over here, I might look at myself and say, you know what, guys, my brothers, I said, you know, you might be right, but I got a letter. I got a letter from over here, and you can't say anything about this letter because this letter didn't come from you. It came from the White House itself. You understand what I'm saying? When we look at ourselves coming to God, my view of myself is not so great because I really don't deserve to be able to come to God and come into His presence and say things to God and live to tell the story. I really don't deserve that. But I got a letter. My name's on the Lamb's Book of Life. I got something here that nothing can change and nobody can erase. I got something here that does not depend on my conduct or my looks or my church association or anything else. I got a letter from on high. Hey, listen, we'll make it in the glory, not because you deserve it, but because we've got our name on the right letter. Glory to God. So when I come to God in prayer, I'm not coming to Him on the basis of my conduct over here or how I've done everything right. But I'm coming on the basis of the atonement. Because now through that atonement, He looks at me and He sees me as though I had never sinned in the first place. And His word to me, Romans, where we talked about the atonement already, His word to me says, you are white as snow. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, that's how He sees us now. So when I come to God in prayer, I'm looking both ways at the same time. I see myself over there. And you know what? I'm right. But I got a letter. I'm right, but I got something that takes care of that problem. I've got something that disannuls my sin. Glory to God. Otherwise, I'd have no right to go to Him in prayer. And guess which side wins? This side wins because it's God's Word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but His Word will never fail. So I'm looking at myself, I'm looking at His view of myself, I'm judging and I'm reconciling. Hey, I know I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. Like the man who came into the temple and stood in the back and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he smote his breast. You remember that? And he wasn't like the guy in the front who said, hey, Lord, hey, I'm here. Blessing time, I'm here. I pay tithes on everything. You know, he was not that. This other person in the back had a true understanding, I think. And this is the way Jesus said that, the parable that he gave. This man in the back, he's going to be heard before God because he's got a true assessment of himself. But he dares to come because of what Jehovah has done for him. But by grace, I got a letter. By grace, I got a word. By grace, I got a promise that I can come to God. Should you talk to him? Have you really messed up? Have you really blown it? I'd say come to God anyway on the basis of the atonement. Don't come to God only with your view of yourself. Because for most people who are struggling with depression or oppression, they're in the valley anyway. And all they see is clouds and hills and dark walls all around them. I'd say come to God on the basis of the atonement and say, Lord, I know I don't deserve this. Common sense would tell you I don't deserve it. But you said come anyway on the basis of the blood of Christ. He told Joshua, Brother Branham said, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I will give it to you. They had to fight for every inch of ground. So do we fight for every inch of ground. Come with a determination. Come that you're going to stay there until it's all over, until God answers prayer and vindicates. That's how we should come to God. Because you can easily fall into a fatalistic view of life. A fatalistic view is a teaching that holds that all events are predetermined in advance for all time in human beings, and we are powerless to change them. In other words, it's going to happen anyway. Nothing I can do about it. Nothing I say is going to matter or change it. That's a fatalistic view. If that's the approach that we should take, somewhere in the Bible, it would have been taught. But Jesus comes along and says, with God, all things are possible. To them that believe. Abraham, you shall have a son. And Abraham, oh Lord, I'm old. I mean, old people don't have babies. Sarah's never been able to have a baby. You know what I mean? That's the way life is. That's who we are. Abraham didn't say that. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And as Abraham's body failed, his faith grew. And God honored that faith. He called those things that were not as though they were. You may have something in your life that you think is there forever. He said, Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. And God honored that. I believe He's the same God tonight. Accepting God's provided way at the end time. Brother Bram said, cry for your needs. That's God's provided way. Didn't Jesus explain that to the woman who cried to the unjust judge? How much more will your Heavenly Father give them the Spirit who cry out day and night? Seek. Keep seeking. Knock. Keep knocking. Just keep on till He opens. Stay with it. Job chapter 23. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. Therefore am I troubled at His presence, and when I consider, I'm afraid of Him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty can shock me. The Almighty can troubleth me, as we talked about already. There are things that happen in your life that God will allow you to go through simply because God wants to soften your heart. God does not want you to have that arrogant look and that arrogant feeling that I don't need God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to have a pastor. And I don't need to pay my tithes. And I don't need to do this or that. And we take God's word to ourselves and we interpret it our own way and say, like, we know what's best. You're really saying to God, I will call upon you when I need you. And that's a dangerous place to be with God. Job says, He maketh my heart soft. Let me tell you something. God knows how to make your heart soft. God knows how to make you come to an altar and weep your way back to into His presence again. He performeth the thing. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with Him. There are things, Job says, not only about my present, but about my future. That God's got under control.
And therefore, he says, I'm troubled at his presence. In other words, I'm not going to barge into God's presence and say, all right, hey, God, here's the way it is. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, he maketh my heart soft. I've learned a few things in time. Last quote. We believe that God, you intend for your children to be happy. It's not meant for us to be frowning and sorrowful. It is written, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And we love to enjoy your blessings and have this great fellowship together. As believers in your word, we fellowship around the word. That's what we come here for, is not just to hear a message, but to worship and fellowship with thee through the reading and the preaching of the word. That's why we've come. Because you know what? He loves your presence. He loves your presence. We love his presence, don't we? But he loves your presence. He loves you to be willing to come. Oh, I'm counting on him to show up. I'm counting on him to speak to me today. I'm counting on him to bless me today. And he loves for you to have that expectation. And he has that expectation too, that his people are going to come to him and rally around the word and just have an expectation, have an open heart and an open mind. A people that are not there to tell God how it's going to be. A people who are not there to direct the Holy Spirit, but a people who are there to receive from him. Oh, he must love that. He must love that. Look, there's a blank slate there tonight. There's just a set of open minds and open hearts there tonight. A people that realize that they need me. Oh, he must delight in coming into that. You know, I always often think of Brother Branham and how he never had a message church really to preach to. I mean, he had Branham Tabernacle, but most places he went, people had very opposite views of how he taught it. And he never had what I have. He never had what I have. I have a group of people that love God, love to get together, love to hear the message, love to... No one's ever come to me in this church and said, hey, you know what? You just talk about Brother Branham too much, you quote too much. Nobody's ever done that, and I'm glad for that. I remember when I came here the very first, and we were all just a little handful of people, just very few. And the thing that I put before the little group of people that were there was, if you want the message, if you believe the message, then this is going to work. But if we want something else, then you probably wouldn't be happy with me because to me the message is an absolute, it's an absolute thing. The Word of God is an absolute thing. The Bible is our roadmap. It's our guide. And I'll tell you what. That's the thing we love. It's a message that reveals Christ. It's the Word of God that illuminates Him. And I said, that's what we desire to have in our midst more than anything else. More than a crowd or a paid off mortgage or whatever else. I said, Christ is the center of this whole thing. And to me, we had a prophet in this last day who pointed to Christ. And made the Bible a new book to us. Boy, that's exciting. That's what we love. That's what Brother Ram said. God intended you to be happy because of that. That's a great thing. Let's stand to our feet. Now remember, Brother Ram said it all starts with a new birth and a baptism and so forth. And being filled with His Spirit and surrendering your life to Christ. And Joseph's going to do that tonight by God's grace. And anybody else that would desire to do that tonight, certainly welcome to come. We've got plenty of water. And time to baptize anybody else who would love to come. So I'm going to sing a chorus here. We're going to start a chorus, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Jaron, and he's going to come and sing a little bit for us while we get ready for the baptism here. And may the Lord richly bless you. We love you and appreciate you coming tonight, and our guests and visitors, and may God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Saturday. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Let's sing that tonight. It's on the board there. There is none, none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all and find. Can
touch my heart like you do. I could search eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and the happiness we feel, the joy we feel in gathering together around the tree of life, and learning and growing. And Lord, as we have been talking about, as many people, Lord, they will feel alone and sometimes feel like nobody cares and nobody understands. But Lord, you are one that promised that you would draw nigh to them that are of a broken heart. You know what we go through. You know what it was like, Lord, to walk alone in this world. But yet, Lord, you took those extra steps on our behalf. And there was no man there to support you. Father, may we learn to be a support one to another and to bind our faith together, Lord, that we might hold up those that are weak. We pray, dear God, that your blessing and rest upon this assembly, Lord, that we might be that to a community, Lord, that is dying and doesn't really know that there's a living God that they can turn to. Bless the congregation, Lord, I pray, and all the various struggles, Lord. We think of the families that are hurting and suffering. We think of Brother Fulcher. We think of Sister Becky tonight, Lord, and just the many needs that are represented in families that are here tonight. Father, we bring them before you in faith. Touch them, Lord, we pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for Joseph tonight as well and ask you, dear God, to take his life now into your hands. And Lord, may he walk in newness of life. May it not be Joseph now, but may it be Christ in him, the hope of glory. I commit him into your care. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for this gathering together, as simple as it is. But we commit our ways into your hands now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
But in trusting, it's not in running, but in resting. It's not in, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. Let's sing it again. Oh, it's not in trying, but in trusting. Yes, it's not in running, but in resting. And it's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. And it's not in trying. Trying, but in trusting. Oh, it's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh. May I be like you. Change my heart. And change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Hey. heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Once again now the potter.
For you are the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh.
Thank God for that new birth. Amen. There's only one way to experience, and that's to step into the water. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Have You Been? The song just escaped me. Washed in the Blood. There it is.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing kind? Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are your garments great?
this hour you wash in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment by the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, lay aside your garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yes, I'm washed in the blood, the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Yes, my garments spotless, they are white as snow. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, robed in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, robed in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, robed in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, robed in white. John saw the number. John saw the number. John saw that number robed in white. John saw that number. John saw that number. He saw that number robed in white. I'm in the number, amen. I'm in that number. I'm in that number robed in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, robed in white. Amen. Let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I believe the angels are rejoicing over one soul who came back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. As we're dismissed tonight, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here tonight.
Thank you for allowing us to be able to make it in time for church, Lord Jesus. Lord, we get so busy in life, Lord, and so many things pull at our mind and our consciousness, Lord Jesus. And even while we're here, things try to pull our and distract us and pull our minds away from you, Lord God. But oh, I'm thankful that you're pulling upwards, Lord Jesus. You're lifting our minds upwards, Lord God. Even though those forces try to pull us down, Lord, I believe you're stronger, Lord God. Like that giant magnet that's pulling us home, Lord God. We can't wait for the day that we can stand before your face, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for what you've done for Brother Joseph, Lord, and bringing him back to you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would guide his life, Lord. Be with him and his family, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we travel to our homes tonight, Lord God, we just pray that you would keep us safe, Lord. Lord, you would just help us to be mindful of the things that we've learned today, Lord God. Help us to apply these things in our life, Lord, and to, Lord, always have that expectation, Lord. Lord, we just want you to know, Lord Jesus, that we want you to be near to us, Lord God. Lord, we want to have that expectation in our hearts, Lord. Every time we come, Lord, redeeming the time that we have to stand before you and gather as an assembly, God. What a precious time this is, Lord, to worship you in freedom and truth and spirit, Lord God. Thank you for the fullness of this word. Lord, be with us as we travel to our homes, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You are free to go as you please. Amen.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of That is what I want to do, and I give you praise, for you are my rock.